This is Weekend Edition. I'm Leanne Hansen. Now another story from Apna Street with Julian Crandall Hollick. The women and men of Mailamilun in Bombay, or to give it its official new name, Mumbai, have been struggling for many years to move off the pavements and into a proper pukka home of their own. They haven't achieved that dream, not yet anyway. What they have done is maybe more important. They've helped others to reach that dream, as we hear in a house of our own.
It's a windy day up here in Mancode, at the northernmost tip of Mumbai, where the main highway to Pune veers off towards Thane Creek and the Ghats or Hills.
All houses built by us.
Gracie drags me away from howling dogs and towards freshly built row houses.
Now, these are also for the railway colony?
Yes.
Many years ago, this land was wasteland, where the city quite literally ended. I remember seeing small boys herding flocks of sheep and goats here. Today, it's one of the fastest-growing slum settlements in Mumbai, as the city thrusts ever northwards. And what were empty fields 10 years ago are now rapidly filling up with small apartment blocks and brick and tin shacks. I've come up here at the invitation of Chinnathambi and Sutta to see their pride and joy, which also happens to be the Holy Grail that's inspired the pavement dwellers of Baikala to slog on all these long years.
Chapels off. No? I know, I'm just taking my chapels off.
It's no need,
And we step through a doorway and into a simple, neat room, 12 by 16.
This is the one just to show how it's done. So you've got the loft here.
One of the first things the pavement dwellers of Baikala did back in the 1980s was hold a competition to design and build houses that they could finance, build, and maintain themselves.
Kitchen.
Yep.
Here, this simple house is proof that dreams really can come true.
How many square feet is this?
280 total.
280, that's including when you include the loft space.
Yes, totally.
Yeah. And you make this for 20,000 rupees. Yes.
Now, that's about a sixth of what it would cost a professional builder to put up a similar house here in Mancode. So why is the cost so low? Well, for starters, the future homeowner provides most of the labour. Then the building materials are purchased in bulk by the pavement dwellers. And finally, though they have to hire outside masons or electricians, the pavement dwellers themselves are their own contractors. They supervise the entire operation.
So you're paying the masons from outside. You're paying them.
Yeah.
That's really the only labor
for
cost.
For plaster work, floor, building.
The surface area of this house is only 180 square feet. But the pavement dwellers, and I think it was Shakur on Water Street, came up with a simple and brilliant design idea to get more bang for their buck.
You want me to go up? Okay.
The only way up is via a very rickety bamboo ladder.
I'm glad you've got such faith.
The ceilings here are 14 feet high. With a mezzanine, that almost doubles the living space.
I think I'm only going to go this far.
Which is just two rungs up, thank you very much.
It's pretty spacious. How many people can you sleep here?
Ten
people?
Chinnathambi says 10 adults or 20 kids.
Yeah, but if 20 in a family is too much.
Chinnathambi returns with a ladder that can take my weight.
That's a proper ladder.
I really hate climbing ladders.
You really want me to climb up, huh?
Yes.
All right, I will climb up now. 20 people. Well, you think you're all gonna sleep here? I don't tell you how many square foot I've got in my house because the whole...
Public housing regulations in the United States require a minimum of 200 plus square feet per person.
Okay.
This house, including the loft, is 280 square feet and will be home, well, to frankly, as many as can sleep here.
I could quite happily live here on my own or just with one other person, I think, but not 20. Who does the plastering here? You do the plastering as well?
Yeah.
Do you have electricity for these?
No, still it is not a good connection.
You have to get that one from the BMC?
Huh, from BCS.
Yeah.
Bombay Suburban Electric Supply. We will get electric supply from BCS.
Yeah.
And water connection, water supply from BMC.
Is that likely to happen soon? Will that take a long time?
Electric supply?
Yeah, and water.
It will take near about 2 months.
Two more months?
Time will take. Because it is rainy season and nobody in there, their system is not to connect the electric supply in the rainy season.
It's amazing. You're making them for about $600 US dollars. That's how much it's costing to make this house.
It's key cost.
Quite extraordinary. Quite extraordinary. It's a wonderful house.
The floor of the loft is made of poured concrete blocks called ladis that the pavement dwellers learnt to make themselves.
Yeah. These ladis, what are the beams? What are the beams that they're supported on? Metal beams or what?
In this particular house, here no beams are used. Without beams.
What's holding up the ladders?
This is something I, whom zero in physics, really don't understand.
It's gravity.
To cut costs, Macron, the architects, come up with an ingenious alternative in the show house.
In each ladder, so they're joined together.
Yeah. Except this house, all the houses are built with the help of the beams.
Yeah. So let's go to the next one.
And so off we go next door.
Construction here. Oh, you've even got goddesses.
Nothing has been overlooked. Next to each doorway, there's a little alcove for a god or goddess.
That have goddesses in them.
And now for the acid test.
How do you like this new house of yours?
Deepa Vasantdiokar is one of the first to have moved in.
I like it.
It's much better than where you were previously, huh?
That was a hut and this is a very good house.
Well, you saved the money yourself.
Spotlessly clean and with gorgeous deep blue floor tiles.
Yes, I saved all by ourselves.
Who chose these tiles? It's a very beautiful floor. Who chose these tiles?
My children like the tiles. They choose
and
it for me.
Who put them down? You did?
I said, Rozgar I can love
this. By a mason.
Very nice. Good action. Okay, Sophia. When the Mahila Milan pavement dwellers from Baikala build their homes, will it be here on this site?
Yet. That side.
Sutta points to a couple of acres of vacant land half a mile away towards the main road.
Yeah, there's roofs there.
Behind that roofs, these roofs, there is a vacant place.
Okay, that, on this side of the road or the other side of the road?
Road ke us par ke is par.
This side.
This side of the road. So eventually everybody will be here in the same
locality.
Mahila Milan NSDF.
RSDF.
RSDF colony. What is this water? Is this just...
But whether they'll ever land up here is in the lap of the gods or the hands of the politicians downtown. The pavement dwellers have no legal right to any land. All they can do is try and create a situation where the state or the city decides to give them land as part of some other deal. It may happen tomorrow. It may happen in 5 years' time. No one, and certainly not I, can predict when. I could end this story right here, but there's something else I've been asked to share with you. Many people in India and in the United States have asked me, how come you ended up on this particular street and with this particular group of people? I used to think it was just an accident, a name, a phone number, and then sheer habit. Now I'm not so sure, and I'm going to tell you why.
Just remind me, Baikala was essentially a residential area?
It develops as a suburb of Bombay.
Miriam Dosa is a historian of Mumbai. Today she's taking me on a walking tour of Baikala, the district where I've spent so much of the past few years. We've started at the lower end of what will eventually become Apna Street. Here, it's now called Meghraj Seti Marg, doubtless after some freedom fighter or ex-politician. Very residential and quiet, a broad avenue shaded by thick plane trees.
So this was a fairly well-to-do area.
That's right, it was. And you had the famous Baikala Club here, which was one of the main clubs, one of the oldest clubs, if I remember.
And that doesn't exist anymore?
No, it doesn't. There's some marvellous buildings here.
If it's a quiet haven in the heart of working-class Mumbai, that's probably because the street's no longer a through road to anywhere. It's become a backwater, quiet, leafy, and largely hidden from view.
Wonderful balconies and...
Well, you can imagine what it must have been like. It doesn't take that much imagination.
I think you have a mixed population in Baikala. It's not just a Christian population. There's a fairly substantial...
A lot of the residents then and now were Goanese Catholics. Remember, Mumbai was originally a Portuguese settlement. Maybe that's the clue to its cosmopolitan air. Miriam stops outside a large three-story house. She wants me to look at something high up on the wall.
What's the name of the street?
Ten Sutas Street.
The name suddenly rings bells, lots of bells. Who was this Sutta?
He was the first police commissioner of Bombay. He remained police commissioner right from 1864 till 1888, which was a very long stretch of time.
So you mean the street is named after him?
That's right, and I think he's one of the fortunate people because there were many Englishmen who did a lot in Bombay. For the urban development of Bombay, and many of them have no name or no plaque.
Frank Sutta was my great-great-grandfather on my mother's side. Coincidence? Fate? Of all the places I could have ended up, I leave that up to you. I'm Julian Crandall-Hollick, here on Apna Street, once known as Sutta Street, in Mumbai.
This was the last in our series of letters sent to us by Julian Crandall-Hollick from Apna Street. They were mixed by Fernando Ruiz del Prado. The music was composed and performed by L. Subramaniam and friends. Julian would like especially to thank Myla Mulun, the National Slum Dwellers Federation, and the Railway Slum Dwellers for all their help over the years. Julian still spends part of each year in Mumbai, but over the next few years, he'll be traveling to many exotic and possibly unexpected places to record a new series for National Public Radio and Weekend Edition, In Search of Living Islam. In many ways, the Apna Street series was an experiment for our program. Many considered it a stretch to have an independent producer work on a multi-part series about a topic which might not seem to be connected to an American audience. But Julian's personal style of journalism, recorded in full stereo, on location, was appealing. We also liked his subject, the women of Milam and Lund. Despite vast cultural differences, there are many similarities between their stories and those of many Americans. Julian allowed us to hear their hopes and fears, their tenacity, persistence, and strength to overcome the circumstances of their births. That's why we broadcast the series. Now I'd like to know whether you found the experiment worthwhile. We'll pass your comments on to Julian. Write to us at Weekend Edition Sunday, 635 Massachusetts Avenue, Northwest, Washington, D.C., 20001. Our email address is wesun, W-E-S-U-N, at npr.org. Our last note concerns this music. Many of you have written to ask about it. Julian commissioned it for the Apna Street series from the famed Indian composer, musician, L. Subramaniam. It's not available on CD yet. The composer is considering it. So, for the few moments we have left in the program, a little more music from Apna Street.